Bucky Ignatius is in the studio with me tonight. He's been a writer most of his life, and for the past couple of decades has focused on poetry. He has been president of the Greater Cincinnati Writers League for the past 5 years, a working poetry group that has been meeting monthly for the past 80 years. Tonight we're going to talk about and hear poems from Bucky's volume of poetry titled 50 Under 50. Bucky, I'm delighted to welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Tell me, first of all, about this title, 50 Under 50. What does that refer to?
Well, it refers to the fact that there are 50 poems in this chapbook, and each is 50 words or fewer. So there's 50 poems under 50 words.
And we're going to hear some examples of that. So let's go right to it with the first poem is Castle.
Yes, Castle is basically an ode to one of my very favorite poets, actually Nobel laureate Wisława Szymborska. She's a Polish poet, and it was quite a shock to the literary community when she won the Nobel. And she had a very small body of work after many years of writing, and when asked once to explain why she had written so few poems, she replied, "I have a trash can in my home." This poem is called Castle. Poet cave, a room apart, a cot, a desk, some art on the wall, dictionary on a stand, Wisława Szymborska's garbage can.
I am interested to know, of course, how the trash can functions in your life. So before we went on air tonight, I asked, do you secret the little slips of paper away that maybe haven't come to fruition, but you don't want to let go of them? Or is there a fair amount of editing that goes into your work? What's your process like?
Actually, editing or refining, revision is what it's primarily known as, is the most work involved in my work. The inspirations come, I take notes, they may be ragged, and then perfecting the language, getting myself out of the way of whatever has visited me, that is always the biggest and most difficult aspect. I do have some scraps of paper from before the first computer hit my house in 1984, but I do keep my bad drafts. I keep them laying around and look when I need to. And revision is a constant part of the job for me.
So this next poem that I'm going to ask you to read has haiku in the title, and I'd love for you to give us a definition of haiku for folks who may not be familiar with it.
Sure. Haiku is a classical form from the Orient, primarily perfected by the Japanese. It has a variety of rules depending on how you count, but the most typical and commonly understood rules are that the haiku consists of three lines. The first is five syllables. The second is seven, and the third is five. They can be fewer. The idea that this is a rule is kind of strange because the entire Japanese concept of syllable is entirely different than the Western concept. But in any ways, it's been embraced that way. Usually, a haiku refers to the season of the year. There'll be a season word within the poem. And often the last line, the last five syllables, contain some sort of hook or resolution or twist. That's the general idea of haiku. They are also untitled by tradition or called simply haiku.
And there's definitely a twist with the one that you're going to read for us. So haiku with jewelry.
Yeah, this poem is actually, I think, what's known today as a mashup. It literally was two poems, a haiku, and the first three lines you'll hear are indeed a haiku. But the haiku, as you will hear, has a bit of a backstory that involves a piece of jewelry, and the jewelry would not leave me alone. It wanted more of its story told. And so that's how this became haiku with jewelry.
Wonderful.
It's May. The hammock is up. Come over and lose another earring. A flattened teardrop. Abalone clad in silver, smaller than a dime on the lamb in a thicket of vinca. A perfect place, but the fugitive gem was too bright, too damned unrestrained to succeed at hiding.
I want to have you introduce the next poem, because there are some references in it to people, groups that are important, I know. So this is White Smoke Rising.
Yeah, there's a little about my process in this poem also. The poem arose shortly after Pope Francis was, now I've forgotten what they do. They're not inaugurated and they're not chosen. There's
elected,
a name.
Elected, whatever, yes.
Whatever it is. This was on the sixth day. He'd already gotten some press for driving a simple car and wearing simple garments, and he was a Jesuit. And I said, this guy might be interesting. I heard on the news a report that in his inaugural homily, which is a certain address that comes once a week, I think, from the Pope, he had urged the faithful not to be afraid of goodness, even tenderness. And this old hippie's mind went right to Otis Redding's song, Try a Little Tenderness. Mm-hmm. And the poem evolved from there. References to musicians and musical instruments all involve the house band at Stax Records, the Memphis recording studio, one of the very first integrated house bands in the U.S., in the southern U.S. And so that's the story on this one.
All right. Read for us, please.
White Smoke Rising. 50 years later, without Steve Cropper's guitar, Memphis horns, without Booker T on Hammond B3, Sweet Soul rocks St. Peter's Square. Pope Francis Otis testifies. Try a little tenderness.
You say you're a semi-reformed hippie, so I'm interested to know what qualities that brings to your poetry. How do you see that playing out on the page?
It brings qualities to every aspect of my life, the time I spent. And when I say semi-reformed, I had the fortunate experience, for me, in the 1960s, and I was born in 1944, to have the opportunity to pretty much lay waste entirely to my pre-existing conditioning. I got to a place, and I think there was actually an album entitled Everything You Know Is Wrong. It was a Firesign Theater comedy album. I realized that that was pretty much true, and was willing to cast everything aside as best I could, and found devices, some of them I must admit illegal, to do that. And that allowed me to reform how I looked at life and how I was going to approach it in ways that were different and very, very much connected to empathy. It was startling for me to really understand how much everyone in the world has in common, despite how different and unique we all are. And I think that's been the guiding force in my life ever since.
I do want to thank you so much for being with us tonight, sharing your poetry and how it came to be, and hope to see you again in the future.
Thank you. Thank you very much. A joy to be here.
I've been talking with Bucky Ignatius about his collection of poems titled 50 Under 50. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.
Them young girls, they do get weary wearing that same old shaggy dress. Yeah, yeah. But when she gets weary, try a little tenderness.